Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener.
The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped.
So Ronnie, I recently downloaded Squeeze Me by Carl Hyacin, mainly because it shows a martini glass with a snake tail wrapped around it. I mean, what else needs to be said? And I am very excited to listen to it later today.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris' new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it. Yes, they sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? He's gorgeous. He's smart. He never even farts. It's Ben. Hi, Ben. Welcome
Hi.
To your show.
Well, why are you peddling such lies at the top of our week? I mean,
just take the W, you know?
Okay, I'll take the W. Sounds good.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm a little under the weather today because I hugged something. I hugged somebody or something that tainted me this weekend at our live shows. But I'll tell you what, it was worth it. We finally got the Cheetah brand off the ground, the Cheetah brand Tua. And it was just so much fun. Thank you to everyone who came out. Of course, it was a fucking natural weather disaster with Austin losing its electricity, freezing over at the freeway, everything closing down here. And you guys still came out. And we had a great fucking time, I have to say. It was so fun. Dallas, everybody was so sweet there. So thanks so much, everybody, for coming out. You made our little dreams come true.
Yeah, it was really a wonderful 2 days. Also, I feel like let's not forget about the wild card factor in here, which is that we did go to Buc-ee's. So it's very possible that you got whatever you got at Buc-ee's. So you never know. There's a lot of stuff happening in that place.
Yeah.
But, it was such a fun time going back on tour. And in case you guys didn't see the latest update, we are streaming the crappies, okay? It is happening. So if you can't make it to LA, then don't worry about it because you can watch it on Moment House, okay? The link is on our website, watchacrappins.com. It'll be just like last year. You can log on, you can watch, and it's also going to be up for like a week after the show. So now everyone can come to the crappies, even if you're not there, you know, physically. So but you should be there physically because it'll be great.
Right. You can get your link. The links for tickets are at watchwhatcrappens.com with all the dates. Our next dates are in Phoenix, Arizona, 2/23, and they're going to be at CB Live. We're going to do a recap, but we're also going to have some, you know, the ceremony in a ceremony held the night before, little crappies for you guys in Phoenix. And then we're going to do the real crappies, Los Angeles, 2023 Golden Crappies at the Wiltern Theater on the 24th. So get your live tickets and your streaming tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com and all of our dates. We've got another 18, 19 dates this season. So go over there. Also, for bonus episodes and videos, go to Crappens On Demand. That's our Patreon. So just go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. All of our bonuses, etc., are there. And now for the Real Housewives of Potomac. I love this music. I love it. I'm going to miss this music the most out of all of the housewives.
I know. The go-go beat, it's so good. But yeah, this is the season finale, a supersized season finale that was also tinged with light scandal. I guess it's more like the scandal was afterwards. Did you watch? I actually watched Robin on Watch What Happens Live. I'm assuming you watched it also,
of
right?
Of course. Yes, you fucking liar, Robin. Oh, my God. I felt for Rob. I mean, I felt for her in a way. What did you think of it?
Well, she was sort of like a deer in the headlights. For people who don't know, obviously on Potomac, she denied that Juan was ever in any sort of relationship, yada, yada, yada. And then on Reasonably Shady, she teased the fact that, oh, actually, I knew about it, and I'm going to give all the details on my Patreon. So Andy had her on, and she was on with Ebony K. Williams. And he's like, all right, well, Robin, we were going to celebrate your wedding, but instead we're going to talk about some other things. And then they drop the lighting to blue. Like, they just change the lighting like it's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And Andy just basically starts going. Yeah, it was like with the way the lights all just sort of like the spotlights all shine down on the stage. So, yeah, he really went in on her, and she had terrible answers. Like, she was not prepared for it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like he went in on her that hard. I mean, first of all, her story started in the weirdest place. Okay, so let's see. Do we need to set this up for anybody? You guys all know this happened, right? Ben just set up what basically happened. But yeah. This wasn't even the same story as the woman in Georgetown. So I don't know why Robin even admitted this in the first place, because it's a different woman, which makes it worse for Robin. But like, she doesn't realize that. It's like, look, he wasn't with a woman in Georgetown. He wasn't cheating with somebody from Canada. But it looks like they were cheating, but they weren't cheating. So where her story starts, yeah, it starts with, well, he was talking to this woman from Canada. And I guess they were just friends, even though she didn't say that, or why he was talking to her, and Andy didn't ask. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we just know that Juan is talking to some lady. So then, for whatever reason, Robin says, this lady decides to come to Maryland. Whatever reason. I have no idea. So she comes. She gets to the hotel. Apparently, she's dating a Baltimore Ravens player, is what she's supposedly told Juan. She goes to the casino. She loses her wallet. So she gets a hold of Juan and says, I can't pay for the hotel because I lost my wallet. Girl, you didn't pay for your hotel when you got to the casino? What? Yeah, you didn't have a reservation with your name on the thing? Robin couldn't just call the casino and get you a room, even though that makes no sense anyway, why he would do that. So it's just a big fat lie. He got caught. It makes me feel bad that people are like pummeling Robin when she's the one that got cheated on. But after watching this season, and especially this episode where she's just laughing at Karen and trying to get Karen outed as this huge cheater and this and that, and all the ladies, Giselle, Robin, and Ashley, all the ones who are constantly cheated on, trying to make everybody come down to their level of misery, it's just really gross, you know? So I don't think Andy really gave it to her too hard at all. He let her get away with everything.
Right. I think for an Andy Cohen kind of interview, considering it was Watch What Happens Live, it was a much more aggressive line of questioning than I think that she was expecting. And she didn't have great answers. And she seemed kind of surprised by it. And I mean, I think what Andy was really after was not so much the details of the cheating, but more like, why did you not say this on the show? And then he's like, well, you know, you go after, you know, plenty of people like Karen for cheating, and yet you have this, you don't even mention it. She goes, oh, well, I just didn't think of it. Like, it wasn't on my mind because it happened like 2 years ago. And he's like, yeah, but like, you guys were talking, like Karen brought up this woman, and she goes, well, that was a woman in Georgetown, and Wanda never had that. So, like, it's just not something that, like, was even part of a story, so why would I volunteer myself? And he's like, no, it's not, like, about being pick me. It's saying, like, it's you being basically open with the audience. And she tried to kind of do a quasi-defense that, oh, she just didn't think of it, but...
Yeah, it was already taken care of, so why bring it up? And to that, I say, why would she bring it up? If no one else is confronting her about it, why would she be like, Juan cheated on me? I wouldn't. People don't just want to come on your show and look stupid, okay? Like, I know that that's what you want them to do. But why would someone voluntarily do that? That's insane. I can see why she wouldn't want to do it. But, you know, coming after everybody as she does all the time is ridiculous, and she's a hypocrite, and I'm really hoping that they set this up, because the episode went so fucking long, first of all. It was a really long episode of the regular show, not Watch What Happens Live, but I thought, God, I hope this is Robin's ending, because I thought for a minute, they got so mad at Robin, they cut out the wedding stuff, because it was over. I mean, it had been on for an hour and it seemed like it was over. And then they cut to this really long Robin wedding scene. And yeah. I'm hoping that they did that, even though they're furious with Robin right now. I hope they did that to give her an ending and just get rid of her.
There are people who are speculating, but although sometimes Bravo will give us a fake ending, like with Vanderpump Rules 2 years ago. But the other thing is, though, I agree that why would anyone just volunteer, especially on Potomac, where, you know, you've got people like Ashley and Mia who are just sitting there with forks and knives ready to just like to dive in and tear you up and eat you up and spit out the bones. Like, why would you volunteer? Which I think is a fair thing to say. But at the same time, she then said, oh, but I will volunteer this on my Patreon. And so that bothered people, you know, and that felt disingenuous. It felt like a betrayal of her duties as a reality star, which is funny that we say like duties of a reality star, but there are duties of a reality star. That is a job, and you are supposed to be transparent, because like the entire reality genre experiment relies on people giving themselves over to it and not trying to self-produce. And so it's basically like she self-produced ultimately. And that's kind of what I think Andy was trying to.
And it was still boring. I mean, my God, this is.
I know. I kept on looking at my phone. I was like, wait, I should be listening to this.
Yeah, this is like the first. Because Robin, you know, I'm up and down with Robin in general, but I usually don't mind her that much. I get the need for kind of a boring one, you know, on the shows. But she's just bad. I mean, at this point, it's just bad. And this season finale with everybody just falling all over each other with all their storylines failing and blowing up right in their faces was sad. It was hard to watch. Ashley chasing Chris around is failing. Ashley chasing Karen around, failing. I mean, because even if Karen did all that stuff, which I believe that she probably did, I don't care. It makes like Karen cooler in my eyes. I think Karen's married to some old rich dude and off blowing people in bathrooms. Like, to me, that makes Karen. Yeah, to me, it makes Karen more fabulous. So I think these ladies just all failed multiple times. And it's time for a shakeup. Robin, for sure. It's hard to imagine that show without Giselle. I doubt Giselle will go.
No way. I would never get rid of Giselle. I mean, I don't know if I'm sold on getting rid of Robin. You know, I would be okay if she were a friend of, but I think I've had a lot of seasons where I've really loved Robin. I thought Robin was actually kind of a voice of reason. She just sort of was the one rolling the eyes for us and everything. And she just had a really bad season. Like, this was her bad season. And I'm not sure I need to throw the baby out with the bathwater in this case.
Hey, the baby is the one who made the bathwater dirty, if you think about it. Always throw the fucking baby out with the bathwater. Who do you think dirtied the bathwater in the first place? Fuck that baby.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I do have to say, I do enjoy the Giselle and Robin friendship. I would give her another season to write the course, because no, Candace, she had a really good season. Amazingly, she finally had her good season. So I'm not sure I'm throwing out Robin just yet, but I think she might be like on probation for me. She might be in like the penalty box or the danger zone or whatever metaphor you want to use, but I don't.
Well, in my eyes, this was Robin's good season. This was a season Robin got off the bench and actually did some stuff. It was just bullshit, you know, and then by the end of it, it was just all bullshit, all of them. And I don't want to watch another season full of bullshit. You know, these shows are fun. I get they're supposed to be petty and this and that. I don't like just making stuff up. You know, I've said it a million times. It has to come from someplace real. This is just,
yeah, you're right.
This is just a bunch of made up crap. Or Ashley, well, get rid of Ashley Robin's at this problem. Point too. Like, no, Ashley's just coming and coming and coming for people. Nothing she said was true this year. I don't even know that she's really leaving that Gollum guy. I don't know. It's like, what's the point? You know, she's just coming here to ruin. They're all coming trying to ruin each other's lives. And it's all the bitter ones who had all this shit done to them already. And they seem to have this attitude like, this happened to us, so now you guys have to experience it. Or it's like,
yeah, well, you know, I think that Robin's biggest problem is that she doesn't seem to have a lot going on in her life that's terribly interesting. And if you said she should be fired based on that, I would have a hard time defending that because, you know, like the Robin and Juan thing, not only has it gone on for so long and always been boring, but now it's actually just over. So there's nothing there. I mean, I'm not too terribly invested in the ups and downs of Embellish. So there's not that. I mean, there is this terrible Juan Dixon scandal.
Of Embellish, LOL.
The downs and downs. But there is this terrible Juan Dixon scandal, which might be interesting to see unfold.
Well, she won't talk about it, but she's not going to say anything about it. So what's the point?
Based on that, like, for sure, she is definitely in danger. I think I also suspect that I don't think Wendy is going to come back, at least not as a full time. I really like Wendy. We make fun of her a lot, but I really, really like Wendy a lot. But she felt a little periphery this season, even though she was in the biggest fight of the year. It felt like she was not really in the mix, maybe because she was too busy. She had too many things on her plate. But I would not be surprised if she got downgraded to friend of or just off the show entirely. And I know a lot of people don't like Mia because Mia really – Mia is like a full fabrication. Like, she is created in a lab to be a reality star, to come on this show, to just be as messy as possible. I've enjoyed Mia, but you know, I understand if she would have to go because there's like an empty hollowness to her. I don't know.
I would say they're going to keep Mia because of all the family stuff that happened where they stole, quote, air quotes, by the way, stole her and Gordon's empire, crack the back empire. And so I think they'll have her back. Also, the way that she came through at the end and carried the storyline, even when Karen made everyone else drop it. And she just came on the field and was like, well, actually, Karen, it was the owner of the Chili's who said that you fucked him on the, you know, the grilled cheese sandwich grill or whatever the fuck it was. Like, she was really committed to just carrying that bag all the way through. So I think that means something to them. She's got a good storyline coming up. And she kind of found a balance between being just evil and stupid and kind of funny towards
the
end.
Does there have to be a balance between those two things?
I do. I think there does. Because, you know, when the stuff happened with Wendy and Mia earlier in the season, Mia was just a complete villain. Everyone hated Mia. They were coming for her so hard online. Rightly so, I think. I think that she kind of came back pretty well from that, considering, you know, like the second half of the season. So I don't know. I have a feeling it's not really what I want. I just think that she'll be back. I think that they'll probably friend Wendy and Robin because Wendy, you know, no one likes Wendy. That's it. And it doesn't mean I don't mean the audience. I think the audience does like Wendy. I like Wendy. We both like her. But I don't think the cast likes Wendy. Nobody likes
that.
Wendy.
I think that's a really good point. I think the cast does not love Wendy. And I think that ultimately, if you ask me, I love this whole cast. I would actually keep it entirely the same. But I do get the sense there are rumblings in the Bravo world among the fans about the show's not good, whatever. And whenever those rumblings happen, you'd sort of have to nip it in the bud. And so otherwise, things go haywire. But I also think that, like, our Bravo community, we are really good. For, like, if we're unsatisfied with something one season, we just chuck the whole thing out, and then things can get really bad from there. So I always feel like we should always proceed with, like, a little bit of caution. I think maybe the best – I'm acting like I'm actually in the meeting of what to do with Potomac. But I think you're right. I think Robin goes down to friend, at least for one season, as, like, a warning shot to be like, hey, you better get your shit together. Otherwise, next stop is you're off the show. And Wendy – I think they actually just – they get rid of Wendy and then they put on just a brand new person.
Yeah, they'll need two. And they're also going to need to get rid of Sasha. Because what's the point?
I told this to you when we were driving to Dallas. I have to come out of the Sasha closet. I'm really enjoying Sasha this season. I don't know what it is. You know, she tries. She's thirsty. I think I'm the only one. And you know what? I don't care. Because that's what being a Bravo fan is. I just see this rumpled lady just trying her best to be in the mix. And I am just like, I am just deeply entertained by her. Just, you know, exhausted, sweating, you know, whatever hairstyle she had in the morning has long gone away. And she's just like, I have something to say. I don't know. I'm, after all these years of disliking Sasha, I don't know what happened. I like Sasha now.
Well, I've always loved making fun of her. I'm just saying, like, if we were doing the casting on the show, I would get rid of Sasha.
Well, she doesn't
bring anything except crap. She brings nothing but crap, you know? All of this was to find out that Karen blew people in the bathroom. Was there one surprised person? Do you know what I mean? Like, was there one surprised audience member that was like, Karen giving someone a blowjob in a bathroom? Hell no. I mean, Karen became famous at 60, or at like 50, what, 50...
59.
She got a new face, new boobs, a new body. Of course she's out there fucking. What else are you going to do with it? You know, it's like you got a new car. You're never going to drive it around. You know, you go, you drive that car. So I think that was Sasha's big load that she had to blow. And it was just a sad load. Hashtag
I think
sad
Sasha
loads.
Will be an intermittent friend of, like we saw about 2 years ago. She'll come on here and there, appear at parties. I think if Robin is a friend of, she'll be the friend of, because the show has not had a great track record of cultivating interesting friend ofs. You have Jacqueline, you have what's her face. She was actually on tonight's episode. She was on Scala. You know, they have not had amazing friends ofs. So if Robin is a friend of, I think that would, you know, I don't know if they need Robin and Charisse, but I guess we'll just have to see. But in the meantime, why don't we get into the recap of this finale episode, which despite everything, I mean, I thought it was funny. I think the show is still a top tier Bravo show. I think this show has, really proven to be the, what's the word? Like they took the torch from Roni, and I feel like Potomac still has it, although Miami kind of has taken it now from Potomac. Why? Let's just get into it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Comer.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So we open with the future of men in Potomac, Baby Dean going to a restaurant for a mommy date, acting like kind of all the men on this show. No, I don't want to, but...
You mean doing what he wants and exposing parts of his body to the public? Yes.
Yeah. You have to leave your shirt on to go in the restaurant. He's like, how dare you? Or don't want to wear a shirt or shan't wear a shirt. How about that, mother?
No shit, no shoes, no attitude, mother.
She's like, yeah, you can't take your shirt off at the restaurant. This isn't a steak and lobster joint. So they go in and get a table for two. And she's like, Deanie, isn't this awesome? He's like, no, it's not. To me, this looks like a land of shirted people. I want no part of it.
Why do you take me to this generic restaurant where the best thing they have on the menu is a Caesar salad? Do I look like an average plebeian? I don't think so. I want mac and cheese. Wah, wah.
Wah, 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 wah. So the waitress comes over and she's wearing a shirt that says, shine on. And she's like, hi. Okay, just die. I'm on Dean's team now because this is your positive attitude is offensive, but the shirt on top of it, why don't you just beat me in the head with it? You know? Like, I don't want to wear a shirt. Yeah, get out of my face. She's like, do you want to start with anything? He's like, take off your shirt, you cretin.
Starting a new trend in dining. It's called shirts off, food in. So then Ashley's like, can I have some tea? I'm just like not feeling the best. And the waitress, you can see the waitress is like, oh, great. Thanks for coming into our establishment today.
I know. You don't say that after COVID. You know what I mean? I mean, I said at the beginning of the recap, I'm under the weather, but I'm like in my house. You know what I mean? I will not be leaving here. You don't say that when you go somewhere in public during, even if it's after the worst of COVID. Like, hi, post-COVID. I don't feel good. Can I have some tea? No, get the fuck up. Die at home. Get out of here.
I know. You'll just keep it to yourself. Just or just say, I have allergies today or something. But like this lady was like, oh great, I guess this is the cost of fame. I knew I should have let Roberta take this shift today. So Ash's like, hey Dean, remember when we were running around that house? Did you have fun playing in that big house? Well, guess what, that's Dean's house now. Dean's gonna live in a house now. You're gonna have your own room. He's like, I don't care, mother. As long as I have this shirt on, everything you say is pure bullshit. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. So she found this house and she walked through the door and she literally felt she was, you walk into a $2 million house. I mean, shit, I'd feel at home too, you know?
Yeah. and she bought it with Michael, by the way. She FaceTimes Sheila, her mother, Sheila, mom, and she's like, so guess what? Like, so this morning, like, Dean, like, did not want to leave Michael. It's been happening a lot lately. And she's just getting nervous that as the kids get older, they're going to blame her for leaving Michael and for breaking up the family. To which I think she just has to say, would you like to see footage of 5 years of your father?
And then I know. You can
decide whether or not this was a bad decision.
Hey kids, today's cartoon. This is called Your Mom and Dad Opening a Kangaroo Restaurant. Enjoy.
Would you like to see your dad laughing? Here it is.
So this whole thing with getting a house with Michael and their LLC, look, her mom is not going to say it's smart. And it's like Ashley's trying to trap her mom into saying something good about it by getting her on TV. But she's like, yeah, you know, we did it with an LLC. And the mom's like, okay, honey. But I think that Ashley just got herself into a really bad prenup, and she screwed. We knew that that's why Ashley wanted those kids, you know? I mean, I think that was pretty clear, right? When they were about to break up. Like, who's about to break up? And then it's like, let's have kids together. So she did that, and we see in the reunion that she's saying, I'm not getting anything out of the prenup. I'm not getting alimony, but she is going to get child support. And I guess if she stays with him long enough to keep this house paid for, she'll have the house. I mean, I don't know. That sounds like hell to me, but she's been with Michael naked on purpose multiple times. So, I mean, I can't read the woman, you know?
Yeah, I really can't either. And like she's saying that they're both paying mortgage and everything. And she even says like, yeah, it does sound counterintuitive and dumb, but I feel like financially it's a better decision for me. I'm like, well, until he takes the house back from in the divorce. I mean, like, I don't see how this is smart at all. This seems like such a disaster, but it's like classic Ashley.
Yeah. So Dean is like, I want to go home, let my nipples free, woman. And so she leaves, and then we get the opening of everybody, like, just doing things around their house. And Giselle's head pops up from behind her rooftop. It's like, well, hello, branches. Yeah, I got to get rid of these branches. So she clears the roof of branches. And I was like, wow, I'm impressed. I would never do that. I don't do that.
No, it's like Mia just losing branches everywhere. So then we go to Juan.
It was a little witticism about the joint chiropractic.
So then we go to Juan making Robin and the kids work out in the driveway. And she's like, oh, I gotta get in shape for our wedding. I'm like, there's four people. You don't have to get in shape for your wedding. I guarantee you don't have to get in shape for your wedding.
So then over with Crystal and Candace, Candace's sister Crystal, Candace is like, I've been paying bills. And she's like, paying bills isn't fun. That's ghetto. It's like, that's the opposite of ghetto, paying bills. You know, every time I pay bills, I'm like, yes, I feel so classy. I've just paid a bill. Tell your friends, Ronnie paid his bill.
Crystal, speaking about failed storylines, Crystal, the friend of that never quite took off this season. She just sort of, they've thrown her at us a few times and then just kind of like, never quite made it. Didn't quite pop, you know, I think the way Candace was hoping. So Candace is talking about how she's going to have a video release party to premiere her Insecure video. And then to show how excited the people of Potomac are for this party, we then cut to a deer. We see a bunch of deer grazing around, wondering if they'll get invited to the party.
Yes, and Karen is on the phone with her assistant, Robin. Not Robin, but no, Robin.
Her publicist, Robin. Oh, I love this, Robin. She's like Bethany cosplay.
The DMV Robin. The DMV Bethany.
Yeah.
But Karen's like, well, Robin, the update on the 3 week is that we've restocked for the holidays and out to 4 week. 4 weeks, Robin. Hmm? And Robin's like, well, we just need to make sure we keep it up with that. Okay, everything good? See you later. 4 week, Robin. It's my new LinkedIn title. 4 week, Robin. Good talking to you, Karen.
So then Karen starts FaceTiming with Mia. And Mia's like,
hi, fam. Hi, lovely. She's like, oh, hi. How are you? She's like, I'm okay. I mean, I had a chicken wing on Robin's bachelorette party. Dirty bird. You had a dirty bird, didn't you? Yeah, and I have a gluten allergy. Ooh, dirty wheat. The dirty wheat on the dirty bird.
It's funny how Karen has a full stand for her iPhone. She puts her
iPhone
on this huge stand and just carries it around to like change the scenery for the next call and luxuriate in a different pose.
I actually noticed her stand. It's so funny that you mentioned that.
So Mia's like, well, there were things said about you. Karen, that's all I heard. And Karen's like, first, from who? She's like, Charisse, I remember specifically that she said you will sleep with any dick walking when you're drunk and that there was a time you went missing and come to turn out you were having sex with a bartender or some kind of employee of a restaurant establishment. And Karen's nose is just twitching like if it was she had like bewitched magic, shit would just be flying all over her house crashing under the wall. Like, her nose twitches just going. It's like,
She sort of looks like a Disney character that someone's trying to make sneeze, you know, like when there's like I feel like there's some cartoon
yeah where they're trying to hold like, their sneeze
yeah where their nose is always like doing the little twitchy thing and you're like it's gonna happen.
Kill the wabbit. Achoo!
Mia, give me a moment. I have a small wooden child in my stomach and his strange uncle creator. Like, cannot sneeze them out right now. Just making her the whale. So she, so Karen, though, does kind of turns this on her head because Mia reports this news. And then Karen goes, did you defend me? And Mia's like, well, I was like, so what are you telling me, fam? She goes, so if they were talking about you like that and you and I have grown so much, I would have defended you, but you didn't do that for me. So she's just like, I mean, the definition of shooting the messenger, she's just like, her semi-ally here, she's just roasting right now. It's like a weird power move, I think, to keep her somehow indebted to her. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. It's like she did the part about being a total slut sleeping with people in restaurants. She didn't even faze her. She's like, how dare you not defend me? So Mia's like, well, I didn't defend you. She goes, well, you didn't? She goes, well, maybe I should have. And then we see 3 days ago them at the strip club and Mia just cracking up hearing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And Karen's like, considering the souls, we don't care and we don't hear it. That woman is dangerous.
Yeah. I think Karen's just looking for an out to have Mia as like her buddy on the show, you know? So then we go over to Robin.
Well, how do you prove that you didn't do something too? You know what I mean? I mean, you can't prove you didn't do something. There's no way. So how is she even supposed to deal with this storyline? I was actually pretty impressed with how she dealt with it. She just kept yelling at everybody, don't hear, don't care, don't wear mascara. What did that even mean? I don't even know what it meant, but it sounded very authoritative.
Well, yeah, she kept on saying, I hear you, but I'm not listening. So then we go over to Robin, who's looking at hat samples for Embellish. Embellish makes its grand return for this episode. And she's like, I like this color. It's perfect for fall. So she puts on like a sample hat. And her parents come over, Gladys and Guy. And they haven't seen the house since they've decorated it and everything. So they're like getting like a little tour. Checking out the drapes in the living room, which Gladys does not really approve of because they're piling too much on the floor. And then finally Robin's like, you want to sit down? And her mom's like, no, I'm just going to stand here and just like grow old while I'm here. Whatever she was. She's like, yes, of course I want to sit down.
Yeah. What did she say? She said something like, no, I'll just stand here until I stroke out. I was like, geez. Wow. I don't remember her actual line, but it was like, no, I'll just stand here and, you know, die young or whatever she said. I was like, damn, Gladys. So basically, Robin tells them that she's gonna, you know, skim off the top of her cousin's wedding and pull a Sheena wedding in Jamaica. And Gladys is really pissed off that she's not being invited. And Robin's like, well, if I have to invite my parents, then I have to invite my cousins. And if I have to invite my cousins, then I have to invite the grocery store checkout people. And if I have to invite the grocery store checkout people, then I have to invite the people that fill potholes. It's like, that's a real stretch there, Robin. And Gladys doesn't care. She's pissed.
Yeah, all these people who just can't wait to go to Robin's wedding. So she's basically Robin's like, well, of everyone, you've always been there for me and Juan, and you never judged us, and that means a lot to us. And anyway, still not invited. See you later, Mom.
I know. Her mom's so excited to go to a cash bar with, like, those little pigs in a blanket from Trader Joe's being passed around on a paper plate.
Yeah, exactly. So now we see the deer again. And now we go to Gordon and Mia showing up at a doctor's office. And Gordon parks his car. I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed it because I noticed when anyone does this. You saw this, right? You saw this.
Of course. This you know that one of the most offensive parts of the episode. Me. Yes.
He fucking parked across two parking spots with his car.
Well, he parked backwards, first of all. When you back into a space. Now, listen, we've all done it. Okay, especially you're at a Home Goods, there's no one there. You're like, I'm going to back into this, and I only have to press drive. I'll get all the hard work done before I park. We've all done it, but I think we can also all agree that's kind of a dick way to park. Because
Why?
You didn't know that? That's a very rude way to park. Because when you're in a parking lot, people have to sit there and wait for you to back into a space, which takes a lot longer. And also, your car being facing a different way than everyone else, it makes the doors open incorrectly into each other. So it's much more likely that they're going to hit your car with their car door window. It's just rude, and it takes more time. Now, there was no one in this parking lot. So at first, I was like, okay, Ronnie, get over it. You've done it too, you hypocrite. But then he backed in. Out of the lines. And I was like, you know what, you rich fuck? I would key you.
Yeah. Two fucking parking spots. I don't generally back into parking spots, but sometimes I have to because I find that I oddly enough have a little bit more control. Cause you know, like if it's a narrow parking lot, like it's actually hard to like make a left turn into a spot. Sometimes you're going to like clip the car as you make your left turn on the inner angle there. So sometimes I feel like you can get more precision by backing in. And so that's when I will back in when it's narrow. And that's really, I'm forcing that situation by other people. So it's not even my choice. I blame other people for making me do that. So I apologize to anyone who has been on the receiving end of, I guess, my asshole doors being the other direction. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
You guys put me.
You know, some places they have signs that you can't back in park. Some places even have that. So it's not
my
head.
They do. They do. But I don't think I think that's mainly because they don't want people backing their car accidentally into like the cables that are back there. Mm-hmm, sometimes like there's like cable railings, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because people don't know. Are assholes. That's why. So I'm just kidding. I'm giving you a hard time about how you park. I literally don't care. So they're at this doctor. Now, Mia is a delusional person. So she's hoping that she's going to have this big vindication scene where she goes to a doctor's office who, by the way, I typed incorrectly. And I wrote Couture's office, C-O-T-O-O-R. Couture! Couture doctor. So she's going to this doctor. She's hoping she's going to have this vindication scene where the doctor's going to be like, well, listen, you thought you had leukemia, you thought you had Lou Gehrig's, and you thought you had Crohn's mixed with Legionnaires. But guess what? It's even worse. You've got dun, dun, dun. But that's not really what happened. I've never felt bad for somebody not getting a horrible diagnosis as I did in this scene. I was like, poor Mia. All she wanted was a good diagnosis that was terrible, you know? And she couldn't even get it. Sorry, Mia.
Yeah, she's like, well, the doctor ruled out that I have life-threatening issues, thank the Lord. But I also have a lymph node that's swollen. I'm like, it's a lymph node, but not fine. Lymph node, we'll let you have it.
I have a lymph node.
She has a node that's limping. So, well, my node had to be put on the sideline. It's injured this week. Can't play in the game.
It's so, benched. I have a lymph node that's benched, so.
You know, I always felt like slightly uneasy with the storyline because even though, you know, throughout the season, she's gotten tests back that say actually everything's fine, I still feel like she's allowed to be scared by all this. Lord knows I would be scared. I have like anything that's irregular and I'm like, I'm dying. So like I was sort of like in the back of my mind, I was allowing her to be scared. But this was pretty funny because, you know, the doctor, Dr. Schramm, basically sits her down and is like, look, we were concerned that maybe a sarcoidosis, you know, which could, you know, that could be a thing that affects the organs and everything, but basically it's a rash. You have a rash.
Well, she was trying, because I think she knew what Mia was there for. So she was actually trying to help Mia. So she's like, well, because Mia's going, well, they ruled out lymphoma. And then I went to another doctor and they moved to leukemia. And then that's why you did the biopsy. So what did they say? She's asking, like, what's my prize, you know, on a game show. And the doctor is like, well, one thing the pathologist has discussed is sarcoidosis. It's a skin disease or something systemic. But it doesn't look like it's going to spread as seen as this biopsy. But we'll want to rule out anything else internal before we let you go. She's making it sound like this is very serious. It could be horrible. You could have complete organ failure, but we're going to just rule all that out. And then Gordon goes, so you're saying it's just topical and it's a mild aggravation. And she goes, yes, it's a rash. It's a rash. Thank you. Thank you for being the one to put it out there.
Yeah. You have a, unfortunately, a severe case of what we call mosquito bite. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mia's like, okay. She says, so the next step would be a chest x-ray to make sure the lymph nodes are not inflamed. And she's like, oh, it's been so challenging for me, but now I know I'm going to live on to send on my bloodline. It's humbling for sure. And the doctor's like, okay, well, we'll check in a month and make sure you haven't grown some other terrible, deadly disease. Okay? We'll see you around shooting the next season. Okay. Call me.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for...
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home. The place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out... to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Hello, snack lovers. Curb your cravings with My Mochi ice cream. Imagine a scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream in your favorite flavor. Now imagine that scoop wrapped up in the sweetest, softest dough known to mankind. That's My Mochi ice cream. Sweet, chewy, cool, and creamy, all in one bite. It's quite possibly the most joyfully chill sensation you've ever had in your life. My Mochi ice cream comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are about 80 calories each, and it's also gluten-free. You can find My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a grocery store near you. That's MyMochi.com. Discover the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
For a Crappens commercial.
So then we go over to Giselle with her daughters. Her daughters, some of my favorite people on Bravo. And she takes them to get some ice cream and they go to the candy shop and everything. And, you know, they all sit down with all this food. And Giselle's like, well, we have so much to celebrate. Ah! And they're like, like what? Well, Steve, remember Steve? He took me out on a little date ski the other night. And
they're like, ew.
Oh. Mom, you're famous.
Yeah, they have this look on their face like, gross. The Men's Warehouse guy, gross.
Seriously. So, just like, so, any commentary? You guys like Steve? They're like, no, it's fine. It's sadly the best you've done in quite some time, so we're okay with it.
I thought it was pretty funny that they actually showed this date with Steve, and she's like, well, hello, Steve. What do you think about dating? And he's like, well, I remember that we kissed and did all that stuff a long time ago, and now here you are again smiling in my face, so not really sure why you called me. He was very much like, why are you calling me? This is so weird.
Yeah. So then Giselle gets serious and she's like, listen, I have something to tell you. That's not necessarily good news, but I have to have surgery on my lady parts. And she tells them about fibroids, and hers are really big and they're getting larger, and they're sitting in her uterine wall. And then her daughter's like, how do you pee? She's like, and then the other one's like, okay, stop. It has nothing to do with pee. And Giselle's like, hello. I'm trying to have a serious conversation. You don't know anatomy.
She's like, I just made a slip up, mom. Oh, what if you have cancer? She's like, well, we're going to pray I don't die, but they have to take out my uterus. And they're like, well, hey, at least you're not going to have menopause, mom. Yeah, mom.
Which I don't think that's true. So
yeah, when you have a hysterectomy, she's having a hysterectomy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a, you don't go through menopause after a hysterectomy. My mom had one. She was like, the one positive thing about this.
I did not know that. But, you know, the thing is that I barely understand vaginas. This is one of the things that happens. I shouldn't say this is what happens when you're a gay man, but my gay experience is that I don't ever go close to vaginas. And I know their shape. And I know they've got fallopian tubes and there's ovaries and eggs go through them and stuff. But that's essentially the extent of my knowledge.
Yeah, neither one of us really understand. I think we both look at women parts as like a cup of bobo tea. We don't really understand what's happening in there.
I accept it's part of, you know, our world and our culture.
All right, like I support the shops, but every time I go into one, I'm going to ask for a Diet Coke anyway. You know what I mean? So this, just so people do know, I do have Google, fortunately, just in case any women are like, I'm getting a hysterectomy today. Ronnie said, you don't have menopause. So a hysterectomy is the surgical removal of a woman's uterus. Women may need a hysterectomy due to endometriosis, fibroids, pelvic inflammatory disease, cancer, or uterine prolapse. Sometimes a hysterectomy is needed to save your life. Depending on your condition, your doctor will determine, okay, well, where's the answer? I hate when you have to keep scanning symptoms of menopause. Only surgical removal of your ovaries, which produce estrogen will cause you to go into menopause immediately. If your ovaries were not removed during a hysterectomy, you might experience hot flashes and other menopausal symptoms temporarily following a surgery. Symptoms are caused. Oh, wow. So you're not really free from it. Maybe it just starts it earlier. Is that what I'm getting? It triggers it.
Menopause, more like menoplay. Am I right?
So anyway,
you know my favorite is when we talk about women's anatomy on this show as if we have any idea of what the hell we're doing.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm trying to Google, you know, because like at least we're not spreading only terrible information. But I have this disease where even if I'm looking at the definition and reading it out loud, I still don't know what any of it means. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what any, what did I just say? I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm like, I barely even understand the definition of a vagina in the first place. So this is really just like beyond my pay grade. I'm just like talking.
Oh, life-giving flower. Okay, let's move on. So Grace is like, so temple. She's like, well, I'm upset because men have penis and balls and women have ovaries and that's just how it is. And Grace is like, Mom, you're still you no matter what they take from you. You could just be a head. But as long as you're accusing people of cheating or being cheated on, you're still mom to me. She's like, oh, girls, that was so sweet.
Mom, whether you have your uterus or not, you're still going to have your terrible fashion sense. You are still you at the end of the day.
And one of them is like, do you want a hug? She's like, oh, my God, thank you so much. That's all I wanted.
And I like that. I think it was Adore. It's like, but you know, she's trying to like do like the here, like on the plus side of all this. You don't have to have as many fans at church.
Yeah. So then we go to Wendy's and she's talking to Karen, and Karen now has her phone stand, you know, by her dressing table, and she's like lying back on a chaise, like, here I am getting ready for Candace's event. And I don't even write down any lines for Wendy. Poor Wendy. Wendy is just a vessel at this point for everybody else to have somebody to talk to.
She's not a vessel. She's not a vessel. She's a plate. And there's a lot of things on it, okay?
She's a plate for everybody to pack their own issues onto to talk about. Yeah, a plate of vessels. So she says that she got updated about this bachelorette party that neither one of them was invited to. And that things were said about her that were so disparaging and so disgusting, I won't even repeat it. But the thing that struck me is, I asked Mia if she stood up for me, and she didn't stand up for me. And Wendy's like, oh, really? Well, in Professor Acefo coming up.
Professor Acefo, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, sometimes it's not the voice of our enemies, but the silence of our friends that rings the deepest. And I'm like, and I'm sure Dr. Martin Luther King was specifically speaking about rumors about Karen blowing people in the bathroom when he said that.
In the end, we remember not the words of our enemies, but the blowjobs we've given in Chili's bathrooms. So Candace,
I have a dream of putting locks on the bathroom doors. That way there's no bad behavior in there.
So then we go to Candace's music video premiere party, and there's like arrivals, and everyone's like, oh my god, hi. And Eddie doesn't know what it is.
To take out everyone.
Yeah, that's a Maryland thing that we've learned. Everything is every party is upstairs. And actually that happens with us when we go there, right? Whenever we're in D.C., everything's upstairs. I mean, you noticed? Do you remember the first place we went there? The listeners were like, oh my God, we made a party. It's going to be so fun. And it was up three flights of stairs. Girl, I'm a fat person. I was like, no.
I was the one who chose the beer garden, so I'll take the blame for that. But it was a very, very tall staircase that was never ending. And it's like, I get it now. You're right. Like, everything is upstairs. And like, I mean, remember the Karen's vow renewal? Was it last season? Where she had to go up a giant staircase to get to her table. I mean, everything is up a staircase on this show.
Yeah, it really is. So everybody's just mingling around, and Giselle sees Chris, and she's like, hello, Chris-a, and then just walks on, and he's just looking at his phone, you know, or as they like to call it on this show, you know, aggressively touching somebody. Yeah, Deborah. So Giselle tells us, I'm not mad at Chris-a. I was like, oh, really? That's so good of you, Giselle. That is so good of you not to be mad at Chris after you spread rumors about Chris all season long and he's done nothing to you. That's so sweet of you, Giselle.
Yeah, and then Chris tells us, you know, sometimes an apology to squash and move on is a good thing, but I feel like in this situation where I stand by the fact that I did nothing wrong, I don't need to ever speak to her ever again. I'm like, well,
so then, yeah.
He's right. I mean, but like, I hate when I have to take up Chris's side.
Yeah. So then he kisses Candace, like, oh my God, we love each other. And then Candace comes in and she goes to her manager and she's like, so are you guys going to announce me? Because there should be some sort of announcement of my presence. So they're like, everybody, here is Candace. And everyone's like, hi.
Like, yeah. What? But what was great was that she was at the bar and where she tells her manager, I feel like there should be an announcement of my presence. He's like, okay. So she goes, she walks out of the bar area and then walks back into the bar area. And they're like, everyone, Candace. I'm like, wow.
Everyone's like,
great work there.
Hi. Here's so some
pretzels.
Let's see. There's a lot of small talk here because it's a party scene, you know?
Yeah. So Giselle and.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. So Giselle and Candace are hugging and kissing and everything. And me and Gordon arrive. People are showing up. And Shasha's there, and she sees Karen walking. She's like, well, here, if you're a friend, just like, hoo-wah, Karen. I think Karen doesn't want to come over here because she sees you here, and she's scared. Dah! And we just see Karen standing off to the side, looking everywhere, but Charisse trying to avoid her.
Yeah. And then Ashley comes and scream hugs Wendy. And she's like, you know, we had a lot of fun in Mexico. And then we were talking about it. And you weren't there when we were talking about it. And Wendy's like, what was said about me? She's like, well. And then we see Mia being messy. Or not Mia. Mia on the bus saying, oh, yeah, she just wanted my cookie. Wendy's like, Mia, you said I wanted your cookie. You whispered in my ear you wanted to eat my box. So what the hell? And they all start cracking up.
Yeah. Wendy's like, she wanted the Godiva goddess, baby. And all she had to say is, can I touch it? And I would have thought about it.
What's funny about Mia's constant lying is at least she admits it. Because Wendy says that and Mia just like nods and laughs like, yeah. And Ashley's like, you said that? Come on, Mia.
She does. So funny. That's just what she does. That's how she gets through it. So so now everyone's doing a toast for Candace's music video, and a guy makes a speech saying how proud he is, and he's glad that she's insecure, because that's the name of the video. And so we watch the video and everything, and well, actually, before we watch the video, he brings Candace up, and Candace is like, first, as always, thank the Lord, because the Lord is first, and then my family, and I'm going to cry. So someone hands her a cry angle, and she's just getting emotional about this video, which on some ways I understand, but also she's really acting like she's at the Grammys, which is funny because this was airing against the Grammys. And I'm like, you're on the second floor of a fast casual restaurant right now. So, I mean, like, this is nice for you and everything, but you did not just win album of the year.
It's a very Quad moment, you know, like where Quad throws herself a party to congratulate herself.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? She had like this big party to congratulate herself on like her cookbook or something. So you're paying for a party for yourself. Then she had her new Lexus delivered to the party. And then she started crying at the Lexus and giving a thank you speech to everybody.
Yeah, that's right. That is that's a great comparison.
Like you just bought yourself that car. So funny. What a classic. But yeah. This is the Candace version, you know. And Candace is such a div. And I like that she's got an already folded triangle in somebody's hand to hand her. That was funny.
Yeah.
So then, I love you, Chris. I love you. You are my man. And everyone comes up and woos, and he's in like little short pants. I can't with this guy. So then she tells us, no matter what miserable people might try to create, that's my man. That's my homie. And you can't break us, girl. Next. So then she introduces the world premiere of the visual for Insecure, featuring Trina, the baddest bitch.
Yeah, so we watched the music video and everything, and Mia's watching us. I mean, it's much better than a parking lot, which is true. And
it's the first thing she said when Gordon carried her over the threshold on their wedding night. It's a lot better than a parking lot.
Yeah, parking lots and scandals just really follow Mia everywhere. And I'm, of course, referring specifically to the double parking from earlier in this episode. I'm still really angry about it. So then, Ash is like, yeah, I really like the visuals. Like, I think the music video is, like, so good. And Mia's like, yeah, the budget is, like, no longer low, honey. The budget is high. And Karen's like, well, look at her. She's doing the damn thing. And then the producer asked Giselle, did you like the song? She's, I can't even remember it. Was it good? Listen, I wish Candace the best for her music career. No idea what she was singing.
So later, Robin shows up after everything's done, of course, because it's Robin. And she's dressed in a wedding dress, kind of, like a white dress. And they're like, well, where were you? She's like, a wedding shower for my sister-in-law. I was like, well, you really are an asshole. So you show up in white at your sister-in-law's wedding shower, which is already a giant fuck you to her. And now you're going to get married at her wedding? Man, Robin sucks.
Yeah. Giselle's talking to Karen. Giselle's just being full-on messy now. She's like, so they told you about the bachelorette party, huh? And Karen's like, yes, well, Mia downloaded me and told me, but I'm not listening. Did you hear that, Giselle? That's going to be my tagline for the next 20 minutes of this show. I hear her, but I'm not listening. I receive what Mia said, and I don't think that she's lying. So then Giselle goes, did she tell you she called you a prostitute? Which is not what Mia did whatsoever.
God, Giselle's such a fucking liar. My God. She's not even trying anymore. She's just flat out lying.
Flat out lying. But I will say, to be fair, it's something that Mia totally would have done if it had been reversed. Because Mia does the exact same thing. So Giselle's just kind of... Giselle is both lying and giving Mia a little bit of... little Mia stuff. So,
well, that's kind of what's happening in this whole finale. And I think that that's what's lacking. It's that everybody has already done all of this stuff. They've already all accused each other of, they've all committed these wrongs. You know what I mean? Over the years on this show. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can't feel bad for Karen. Karen's accused people's husbands of cheating and all the stuff she says about Juan and Robin and all of this. Like, you can't really feel bad for anyone at this point because they all do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So Giselle's like, yeah, did she tell you she called you a prostitute? Ah. Karen's like, no, she missed that part. And a chair just flies across the room. So Karen, get your magic under control, Karen. Get it under control.
And Giselle explains why she brought this up, because she says that she didn't want there to be any gray area and she wanted Mia to have the opportunity to explain why exactly she called Karen a prostitute. And then she just laughs. She goes, I was just being messy. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I'm just fucking with Karen right now.
And Karen's like, Ray, will you leave for a second? Don't take any of this shit. Like, okay, Ray. And he's like, okay. So he walks off. And I love Ray's ability to just be like, oh, are they going to accuse you of whoring around on me again? Great, I'll just be right over there.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the snackables.
It's like, I'm too old and tired to go through a divorce. I'll be standing right over there. Okay.
He's like, if this gets me closer to Florida, I'm for it. So then Giselle now goes up to Mia and is like, so when you downloaded Karen, did you tell her that you called her a prostitute? Because, by the way, Karen, she called you a prostitute. And Mia's like, no, I asked because I heard the word hotel and I heard you had sex with every dick that walks.
So I asked if they were accusing you of being a prostitute. And Giselle's like, well, as long as you know Karen, not. And she's like, well, I've been lucky enough to never have to sell my box. But I would let you know if I ever decide to do it. Ashley! Because Ashley's obviously trying to push this along too, right? So yeah. Ashley's like, well, but my only thing, Karen, is the reason it gives us more pause is because it's someone who's mutual friends with you, who's in the same community, that said it. And she's like, I am a mother. Do, 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 do. I am a member of the community. Do, 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 do. I am ambassador to Surrey County, the first county with Wi-Fi in a 20-mile radius. I will not receive it.
I was like, woo, Karen. Balloons fall from the ceiling. Confetti comes down.
And I accept this nomination to be mayor of Surrey County.
She's like, I'm not even going to defend myself. Okay. And then Ashley's like, well, if Karen's doing something, she's not doing a good job of hiding it. Just either say it's not true or own up to it or just say, yeah, me and Ray have an open relationship. You know, no, she doesn't owe you any of that. Okay? And the only reason you and fucking Darby had to do that, you know, Miss Projector, is because he was fucking around all over the place and getting caught on multiple blogs. This isn't the same thing. When a blog gets her, then you can go after her as hard as you did, as hard as they did for Darby.
Well, then Sasha shows up sort of like someone riding a slide on a burlap sack, you know, just sort of gliding right on in. And she's like, do you have something to say to me? she's like, this clearly didn't work. Karen clearly is not coming over to confront me, so I got to do this. And Karen's like, I don't have anything to say to you. And she goes, oh, so now you're not speaking to me? I'm like, Sasha, I hate to break it to you, but she hasn't been speaking to you all season long.
God, Sasha's so sad. She's coming here with gossip that's like years old. I mean, when was her – did she do season two? She did do season two, right?
Yeah, she was in season two, and then she's been friend of ever since. And then Karen's like, well, I don't know why you're speaking to me in my airspace. Why are you speaking in my airspace? We have F-14s flying around my head right now, ready to shoot you down. Are you from China? Are you a balloon right now?
Yeah, she's like, I hear you, but I'm not listening or receiving. We are done. Receiving off. Weep, brr, beep. Charisse is like, you don't want to be, oh, so you want to continue to be fake and phony? Well, that's that. Give her a fake path, everybody. Give her a fake path. It's like, wow. Okay, let me mark that down on the reasons to keep Charisse. Fake path. Ray, yes, bitch, yes.
Hey, Ray says that she can have eye candy. She didn't know she'd be eating. He didn't know that she'd be eating this shit. He said, just look at the shit, okay? Because it's candy, and people like to eat candy, and she ate the candy. So she was eating her eye candy, which should really make it mouth candy. You see what I'm saying here? Should I take it from the top?
Eye candy. She ate the eye candy. Wow, Charisse. So Robin's like, this is what I expected. Like not paying attention and then walking away. And then there's a huge squeal because Candace is coming over to say hi to everybody. And then Mia and Karen are talking. And Mia's like, listen, I just want to make sure we have a sidebar. Is a woman who recently suffered through almost leukemia and also almost a lot of other things, something sarcosis or limping nodes, something like that. I would like to make sure we're okay. And she's like, well, we've had enough and consider the sores. And Mia's like, well, wait. Line. Yeah. She's like, wait, there's more. It's like, dun, dun, dun. And Karen goes, well, what more? Because my husband is standing right here. And he's like, oh, well, more whoring around talk. I'll go over there. I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear this. So he goes over to the guys. He's like, ha, ha.
And he holds,
they're
and
accusing he's holding, my wife of being a whore again.
And he's just standing there holding her purse, just waiting for her to disentangle herself from whore accusations. So then Giselle is talking to Candace, and she's like, so Candace, I thought I was going to talk to your husband by now, since you said he wanted to talk to me. It's kind of like the season finale, so we're running out of time.
And she's like, probably not today. So then back to me and Karen. Mia's like, you know the manager at Chili's, right? And Karen's like, I'm smelling something in 10 different counties right now. Hold on. Almost had a clue. And Mia's
that's
like,
a little fly on my nose. Mm-hmm.
Well, someone is saying that you were dating his best friend and you guys went to Vegas and you had sex with him in the bathroom.
And was this when I was a single woman? I'm just joking. It's humor. I'm unbothered by this accusation whatsoever. So Mia's like, well, that's why when I said I had sex in the Waffle House bathroom, you were like, cool, I get it now. And we get a flashback to when they did like their newlyweds game. And she said she had sex in the Waffle House. And Karen was like laughing. So Karen's like, listen, I'm not going to be defensive about some man I don't know. I'm a bad bitch for 59 when I may have a little bit of dust on my nose that's causing it to swirl in all different directions, but I'm a bad bitch nevertheless, and if I got a young man saying he's doing me, then I'm a bad bitch, because now I got a man right over there, and he loves me, he cares about me, and he trusts me, and that's all I care about. I hear this, but I'm not listening.
Well, I wanted you to really hear it, because you're accusing Charisse of making it up, and I don't think he even knows Charisse. And so Mia says that she heard this about Karen last year, and so they can't blame it all on Charisse. And she's like, yeah, it's not Charisse's fault you were bobbing and weaving in Vegas, according to the Chili's manager, and that's okay. I mean, if Ray's cool with it, it's not okay, because you guys are just walking around trying to host shame everybody. And you of all fucking people, Mia, you know, you of all people, step down, madame, okay?
Well, this is how you know Karen's about to leave. Because she says her 5-minute warning phrase, which is, let me be very clear. So she always says that when it's about 5 minutes of her from leaving a venue. Let me be very clear. If that were true, I would admit that. And it's just not true. Which, by the way, I don't believe if it were true, she'd admit it whatsoever.
And she's like, and the owners of that Chili's, they don't even know you. I call them. You don't even go there. So stop, Mia.
I love that. She said she had her people reach out as if she's like a global organization.
Nat's showing pictures. Did you ever see this woman giving a blowjob in the bathrooms?
He's dressed like Columbo.
Yeah. So then Wendy's like, oh, Karen's leaving. And Candace is like, what did you all do to Karen today? And Giselle's like, no idea.
There are so many rumors swirling around there. And Ray's like, oh, do we really have to go? Yeah. I was really enjoying those past apps.
And Robin's like, there's a pattern here, guys. Yeah, you're always trying to call Karen a cheater in a season finale and she pays you dust. Go take a nap, Robin. Okay. So Giselle's exactly. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, gah. Candace did say in Mexico that Chris wanted to talk, gah. So this is where all their storylines just start failing at once, right? We've got the Karen thing, which was not a success. So yeah. Now they're going to try this Chris thing again. And Giselle's like, well, we've been here. And Ashley's like, am I in a timeout or something? I'm not allowed to talk?
Yeah, this is funny. I mean, they all know. They know. Of course, Chris doesn't want to talk about this tonight when it's all supposed to be about Candace. Like, of course, this is not. Chris knows it's going to be a scene. The chances are he's going to be made out to look like a bad guy. He doesn't want to do this. But they are like, this is the season finale, and this is important for our storyline, so we need to have the talk. So they are there, and they also just want to, like you said, they want to make something happen here with this, right? So Robin's like, guys, it's probably not that important for him to talk to you all, which is like. Actually, a point for Robin there. So Ashley's like,
well, I guess that's fair, but like, you're also not gonna like go threaten me on Twitter and like not say it to my face.
I'm like, that's literally all you guys do all the time.
Yeah, and he did not threaten you on Twitter. Give me a break. So Candace comes over and Giselle is basically like, what the hell? We need to talk to Chris, right? And we see a clip of they make jokes about KFC. About the last finale when Karen was like, Karen I had date night and you all made me leave and I didn't even get to date night. I had to eat KFC. So they're making fun of that, which is hilarious because they're pointing out that they tried this exact same storyline last year and it's still not working. It just makes the whole thing sadder for them, you know? So then Candace, it's been her season basically. So she's like giving a speech to everybody and saying, you're all messy, but, and you all do fucked up shit sometimes, but I still love you.
Yeah. And she wants, and because Karen's not there, she basically takes like a flower that's nearby and puts it into a stanchion and is like, this will be Karen. And so she makes this nice speech and it's one of those things like, oh, I love you all. And Ashley's like, that's great. Okay. Now let's get messy.
So, Chris is here and he and I haven't talked. So if I can talk to him.
And Candace is being very calm. She's like, well, I don't know if he's open to speaking tonight. He doesn't want anything to take away from the celebration of this evening, which, as in case you all forgot, is the unveiling of my music video on top of a Jamba Juice. Okay, let's not take away from that.
She's like, well, who said I was going to be a problem? Who said I was going to be? And she's like, well, that is the problem, Ashley. We don't know. So she's like, okay, well, his actions, whether they were innocuous or not, have been interpreted that way. You're still denying that your husband was walking around sexually assaulting crew members. Madame, you can back the fuck off. So then Candace is like, oh, right. So these accusations from your friend from Sesame Street.
Oh, and now you're insulting my quite beautiful friend. You know, she's always seen a lot of you. She sees two of you, you know, and that's the beauty of crossed eyes.
So then Ashley decides, you know what, I'm just going to go up and talk to Chris. Which is, by the way, what Giselle should have done.
Candace, because she literally has a Sesame Street twinkle in her eye. What do you want from me?
Yeah. So Ashley goes in and goes over to Chris. And she's like,
all I'm going to say is that, like, Chris, is that, like, when you said those things about me on Twitter?
And Chris is like, which things? He goes, if my tweet upset you, obviously I was upset because someone was telling me that I grabbed another woman's ass. And Candace goes, Candace is basically chiming in to defend Chris and everything. And Chris is like, and even suggesting that I would do something inappropriate in that moment is fucked up, disrespectful, and I don't fuck with it. I'm sorry. And I was so mad. And I tweeted that. And if you're going to lie on me, you're going to be sorry, because I'm going to do something about it. And I'm not going to sit here and let you say whatever the fuck you want. And now you got me angry and cussing at you. And I apologize, because I don't want to do that. You know what? But I'm angry. And I'm very angry. And honestly, I want to have a longer sentence right now. But I'm doing short sentences because I'm angry. And I apologize for that, too. I want to have a better sentence structure.
Oh, he's terrible. He's so embarrassing. I get embarrassed watching him. Like, he really is like, yeah, and now you got me cussing at you. I'm like, okay, Chris, like, please get Chris off the screen. Okay. You're embarrassing yourself more than Ashley ever could. And she's like, well, I'm sorry, but some of your actions are questionable. He's like, fuck that shit, Ashley. No, I'm done. Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. And he like storms off, you know?
He's like, I tried. And then Ashley's like, what did I say that was so bad? I mean, so classic Ashley. That's why you got to keep her around, because she is so shameless.
Then we see a clip for this Watch What Happens Live that's coming up, and it's just Ebony holding up her book. She's like, this is me. It's my book. So yeah. Then we're continuing, and we've just seen Chris storm off, and Wendy's like, did you think that was going to go well? She's like, well, we're adults. And Chris is just yelling, fuck that, fuck everybody. And he's like storming out. So Candace tells us that I have retired the idea of having a real friendship with Ashley. The blessed life I have led is one she can only dream of in her ashy dreams.
Yeah, and Candace is basically telling Chris, like, there's nothing you can do. Like, don't worry about it. Or you can't win. And he's like, I can't. He says, nothing I can do. So she's like, listen, you can't battle against perpetually damaged people. So then Ashley is still insisting that she did nothing wrong. And now we get the little wrap up thing. So Ashley and her kids moved into their new home in October, and she briefly dated Winterhouse's Luke Branson, but they have since called it quits, which I didn't realize. I thought they were still dating, but I'm sort of hoping that was going to last a little longer. I don't know why. I sort of liked it.
God, why? Poor Luke.
Well, I like the strangeness. That? I like the strangeness of a Real Housewives of Potomac / Summer House crossover. It just was not something I was expecting, and I kind of wanted to live in it a little bit longer.
Yikes. So then Karen has expanded her empire, and her number one fan is Ray. And we see everybody's end cards. And Giselle also had a hysterectomy and is dating a Bravo celebrity, which we have no idea who it is. It's Jason.
Yeah.
A lot of Summer House people trying to make that candle keep burning, you know?
Yeah.
Bless their hearts.
Candace, she went on a tour. Chris is no longer working at the hotel. And then Wendy is kickboxing as a way to decompress and is now drinking a gallon of water a day. So that's how you can really tell that she's not going to be on next season, because that's like a pretty, like, her update is that she drinks a gallon of water a day.
How Wendy is that ending? And now she drinks a gallon of water a day so she doesn't get kidney stones. So it's like, wow, good one. So then, Mia's health remains stable, unlike her finances, because she and Gordon have lost control of their empire.
Yeah, and we see Mia asking Robin if her mom's going to come to the wedding, and Robin gives like the most Robin response. She goes, ah, I haven't decided. So Robin went and basically never got around to the prenup, but she and Juan did get around to something else, ..
So this was when I thought it was going to cut, because they were going to punish Robin for being an asshole, but they didn't. They showed a whole fucking wedding thing, and I'm not talking about it. I didn't write shit down about it. I don't care.
There was nothing really to write down, which is basically, first we are in like Jamaica, and it's like the wedding day, and then it's a classic Potomac, like, just kidding, and then they show just sort of like a gloomy harbor. And we're in Maryland, and Robin's like, change of plans, we're in Maryland. So basically, probably Juan's brother found out and got mad and said, like, what the fuck are you doing? This is my wedding weekend.
I'll bet
so,
it was the wife. I'm sure that her sister-in-law, when she saw Robin show up to the bridal shower dressed like the bride and probably taking presents from people, she's like, oh, I'm registered too. she was like, is Robin going to pretend this is her wedding? Can you maybe ask her? Oh, yeah, we're getting married the day after. The same venue. I just told him not to clean up.
Well, I called my friend Suzanne, who owns wedding venues, and this just feels more right. So they decide to get married on the shore in Maryland, the only shore that actually has a 2-flight staircase to get up to it. It's just classic Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, really, really typical Potomac.
That's a two-story beach.
So then we see clips of them over the years, and it's just all sad and lame and gives no hint of any kind of romance at all. And then they walk down a dock, and she turns back to the camera and flips us off. She's like, fuck you, haters. We did it. I just, my only response to that was, keep walking. Keep walking.
Yeah, it was just sort of like, I was like, oh, this is too long. I know we've waited many years for this, but the thing is, we haven't waited. We've just endured it. I was like, let's just, please. It could have just been one still photo. I don't need all of this.
And someone also call Alexia from Real Housewives of Miami to go to Miami-Dade.gov or whatever to see if this was ever even filed. Because I don't know that I believe that it really was. And scroll to the bottom, Alexia. Scroll to the bottom.
Make sure you get the full story. The full story. And then Bravo did have enough time to throw up a title card at the very end that said, 5 months later, Robin admitted that Juan had been inappropriately communicating with another woman prior to their wedding, and the couple claims to have worked through their issue.
Yeah.
Also, Juan's in a scandal. I was waiting for that title card, too.
Yeah, also Juan is being accused of completely ignoring
sexual harassment.
The sexual harassment and sexual assault of one of his teammates. one of the players on his team, one of the coaches,
all that stuff.
Yeah,
so
really, really bad. So fuck that couple, both of them. And I hope they're out of here. But that was a decent season. It kind of went out on a fizzle. Guys, no one cares if you're cheating anymore. Like, that's so 4 years ago. I literally don't care. It seems like everyone on this cast is either cheating or has been cheated on. And at this point, I don't care. It's a boring storyline. Do something else, please.
I mean, that the cheating rumors are always sort of titillating. But the thing is, if it can't go beyond a rumor, if it can't progress beyond it, it's a little useless, you know? It's much more interesting to watch a storyline about dynamics between the women themselves, I find.
Yeah.
But we'll just have to see what happens. So the reunion is not on next weekend because the Super Bowl, but it'll be on in 2 weeks, and sure, it'll be a good one. They always do a good reunion, that's for sure.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here. Please go over to watchwhatcrappens.com for links to all our live shows, including our next one, The Crappies in Los Angeles, at the end of February. Also, the streaming tickets are up at the site. We will talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas.
She don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good. Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now I'm returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.